Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Hello, everyone. And once again, we're going to correct that intro because we have the wonderful Dr. Katie Eastman, who is also now co-hosting this show. She's back. She started the original Best Ever Show with us for a while, and then she moved all the way across country. I think you really drove all the way across country, didn't you?
We certainly did, with two cats and a 9-year-old and my husband and myself, and we had quite the adventure getting almost killed in New York City, but enjoyed torrential rainstorm and have you ever tried to stay in sync with your husband driving another car through a major city in the middle of a torrential rainstorm? Oh God, it was quite the calamity.
Did you tranquilize the cats?
No, we didn't.
Oh my God.
They actually learned the routine so that we would go into the hotel and they would follow the routine, and eventually they got to the place where they'd just follow into their carriers when they needed to, and they really adapted really well. It was great.
You know, you have good cats. I have, when we moved from California to Maine, I had 4 kids and 2 cats on the airplane, and we had the cats in those carrier things, you know, with the mesh fronts. And one of our cats chewed through the mesh front and got loose on the airplane. And it's, you know, we were on a red eye, and the cat got loose, and we had no idea until the stewardess held up the cat in the middle of the cabin and said, "Whose cat is this?"
You know, calamities like that teach us. And like this morning, our guest is not here yet. And so we are faced with, okay, here we have a situation. Now what do we do? So, hey, isn't that what life's about, is what do you do when the unexpected happens? Mm-hmm. So here we are. The unexpected has happened.
You know,
so we're
going
to have a great radio show.
We are. We've done one of these before, and it was one of the highest rated shows we've ever done, so it's pretty funny. So let's talk about our guest in their absence. But I don't know where our guest is, but Roberta Cause Wilson was to be joining us today from Cookies for a Cause. And so, you know, I'm not sure. There's people in the chat room listening. Sorry. I don't know what else to say. You got us, and we're going to talk about cookies because I like cookies. Don't you like cookies, Katie?
Oh, God, I like cookies too much. But you know what I like more than anything is a cause. Because you know I'm all about charity and nonprofit and purposeful work. And one of the things I really love about Roberta and what she's doing is she's making cookies, but she's also donating a percentage of what she makes to a wonderful cause, very dear to my heart as well, Starlight Foundation.
Yeah. So you can let me tell you a little bit about Roberta. Roberta Cause Wilson and her brother, recording artist, jazz musician Dave Cause, started Cookies for a Cause 4 years ago to honor the memory of their mother, Audrey. And when Dave was starting his music career, Audrey, who designed a recipe for a one-of-a-kind chocolate chip cookie, she began. I love this poor kid. He had to have cookies at all of his meetings and performances. Boy, I don't know that mom at all. That's really funny, isn't it? So we love
it is.
Them.
Well, we've all done that to our poor kid, you know. Our kids become part of our work day. I mean, there's just no way they can't be, right?
Well, not
you know, Quaid is one of our best, Quaid is like our research.
Oh, yeah, Quaid, yeah, my son Quaid Guarino, we just threw him on the website as our technical advisor. It was so funny. He's our guy. So anyway, yeah, so keep going here on the cookies. The Jazz World fell in love with Dave and Audrey, claiming that her cookies were largely responsible for his success, which is awesome. But unfortunately, his mom suddenly passed away in November 2005, and daughter Roberta felt compelled to carry on her mom's legacy of spreading love and magic through her cookies.
Oh,
and she started with Audrey's concept, all the while making it her business to give back to the world. And now 10% of the proceeds of Cookies for a Cause go to the Starlight Foundation, as you were saying. And you can visit the website at cookiesforacause.com. And let me spell that for you, cookies, for a, and then cause is K-O-Z.com. But they've, Katie, they've donated $30,000 so far.
I know. They really have.
And more at this point.
And that is really amazing and something really to be commended because, you know, a lot of people think about donating and yet they stop themselves because they say, well, you know, I can always give later. But when you designate a percentage of your proceeds to go to a cause, it automatically begins to happen. And believe me, the ripple effect is positive. People want to give to a cause. I was reading a research statistic the other day that the fact is that 60 to 75% of the people of this newest generation, they want to give to a cause. They will go to a company that has a cause more than they will go to a company that doesn't. So I think it's a really valuable business decision.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm typing in the chat room because people are like, what's going on with your guest? Well, the answer to that question, my fine friends, is that we don't have a guest. And we thank BTR for featuring us in that beautiful picture of a cookie on the homepage under staff picks. But we don't have a guest. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are asking you to call in, and we'll have a little girl chat here. Guys, if you're there, come on board, 714-868-0220. And I think... we have a caller, and it could be Deb Scott. Wait, I think
girlfriend.
Hang on, let me see. Before, hang on one second. Let me see if this is our guest. Could this, by chance, be our guest, Roberta?
I am so sorry. I've been calling for 10 minutes, and I was dialing 0200 and getting a busy signal.
See, we knew it was something. We've been talking about you marvelously, though, for a few minutes now. How are you?
So sorry that I'm late. I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for joining
us.
Hi,
Roberta.
Hi.
We have, here's who you're on the air with. You're on the air with me, Elizabeth, and then we also have Katie, and then we also have Deb Scott, who has called in to, I think we've all got cookie questions just lined up and ready to go, because we all might be the biggest chocolate chip cookie fans ever.
Oh, I love that. Well, fire away.
So, we're all curious how you started all of this.
Well, really, I'm telling you, somewhat accidentally. I call myself the accidental baker because that was definitely not my background at all. I come from corporate world, business, sales, marketing, the whole thing. And but I grew up in a house where chocolate chip cookies were a staple, and my mom was really sort of the magical baker. And she spread her love and her happiness, her will to everyone she knew through her chocolate chip cookies. She was a pharmacist, actually, by profession, but it was her passion to bake and give chocolate chip cookies to everyone that she cared about. And so when she passed away suddenly about 6 years ago, there was literally a void in the universe. And I thought, oh, my God, that like there has to be a legacy to keep that going. And so about 2 years after she passed, it just came to me one day, and I thought, you know, my maiden name is Koz, K-O-Z, and my brother, Dave, sits on the board of Starlight Foundation, and it was my mom's favorite charity, and I thought, cookies for a cause, play on words, and donate a portion of all our sales to Starlight in my mom's honor. This was sort of something that just came to be. And my mom is really sort of the center of the universe for the company. And she sits on my shoulder and I think helps me come up with new recipes. But it all started with her chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, you know, Katie and Deb, isn't it amazing how sometimes our conversations aren't really even about cookies? But there's a theme among the three of you. All three of you have lost your mom.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, this is Deb. I just want to say God bless you for what you're doing and being a mentor to so many women out there because, yes, as one who lost my mom and my best friend, and I'm looking at this beautiful picture of Audrey right here with her red jacket on your website. Absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful website, by the way, cookiesforacausekoz.com. But, you know, when my mom passed away and she had a lot of vintage clothing, it was just a short time, but I had this down in the downtown area of Newburyport, Mass., this vintage clothing store in honor of her, a little bit of Rachel. And at the time, I had scanned in her signature, so it almost looked like she wrote her own store, a little bit of Rachel, and it had things all Rachel. But, you know, I think when you put the genuine love behind it in a tribute to a person, I think it becomes that great quote. I think it's Drucker who said, the best thing you can do with your life is to create something that will outlast it. And I think that what you've done is just fed more than our stomachs with these delicious cookies. You fed our spirit with this cause, and it's so clever, so beautiful, it's so inspirational, and thank you so much for having the courage to step out and do this. I love it, love it, love it.
Thank you so much. That my mom is smiling right now hearing that, and it makes me so happy. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Katie?
Yes. It's hard for me. It hasn't been that long since I lost my mom, so it's hard for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
But one thing I can say is that her gift to me was the poem, The Road Less Traveled. And what I love about what you're doing, and I spoke about this, Roberta, before you came on, is that it takes a lot of courage when a business steps out and says, I will donate X amount to a charity, instead of just doing it as they go along. And I think you took The Road Less Traveled. And I really respect that. And that was the gift my mom gave me, was everything I do, I try to do most authentically, because that is The Road Less Traveled.
That is so you, too, to the core. Just for me to interrupt for a second, so authentic. I never even know, really, that you're a doctor. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes, I mean that genuinely, because, you know, sometimes you think of doctors as being stuffy and you can't get to their heart and you can't, there's no, you know, you're so beautifully authentic. That's what makes you, you. That's what makes Dr. Katie, Dr. Katie. So.
Wow. Dr. Katie, you just inspired me to give that book to my two daughters, because what a wonderful legacy your mom left with you. And I never thought to do that. And what a beautiful message to deliver to your kids, you know?
Yes, it was. It was a transition period in my life when I was in college. And because we lived in Vermont, she gave me The Road Less Traveled. And she said, you know, take the path of least resistance, but take the path that is most uniquely yours. Follow your heart. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And I've tried to pass that on to my mom, to my daughter. And so anyway, thank you for what I just want to echo what Deb said. Thank you for what you're doing and for being a role model for other businesses to honor charities.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. So how much work is owning a cookie company? Are you working day and night, since it's your own kind of very entrepreneurial? Is this what you did with your life? Is it a spinoff of something else in your life? Were you a baker, for example, before, or...
Well, I'll tell you, it was, I came from MTV Networks, the cable television company, and I worked there right out of college for 21 years and had a great career and, you know, all of the title and money and all that going along with it. And because I was there for so long, I had a lot of flexibility. So I was working from home and part-time for the last 7 years when my kids were little, and it worked well. But at a crossroads, I had to decide, do I want to... I had to sort of either decide to go back into it bigger or step out when there came a time where I was going to have to travel a lot more. And I I decided to step out, and I thought the world ended because it was such a culture shock to me for my entire adult life to have had all that and then walk away from it. And for about 6 months, I thought, who am I and what am I going to do on this planet that, you know, isn't that now? And because I was already at home and part-time, it wasn't like I was gaining more time with my kids because I had that, but I lost this big part of my identity in the career world. And then I realized, oh, my God, it took me a while. I dabbled in a few different things, and I realized that wasn't where the passion was. And that's when I found this. You know, again, I had no experience in baking, but it just came to me that this is what I wanted to do. And I was able to utilize a lot of my business skills. I started very small. My kids were, you know, they were already older, so it wasn't like I had to worry about little kids coming into the room where I was, you know, creating the business and such. But I started very small with a website and selling at boutiques and baking at home and having an artist create some very, you know, simple packaging and figuring it all out one step at a time. I just like to say baby steps. I gave myself a little, you know, one step a day type of thing and figured if I just kept moving forward, the fact that I had no idea what I was doing, I tried not to let it daunt me, you know, or scare me. And so it was very part-time and just learning one step at a time. And then that was, I would say, about 2 years and really learning how to market through the website and get customers and go after them and have a new cookie every month featured. And I was baking every day, but it wasn't like it was taking over my life at all. But, you know, it was a commitment. But then last year came an opportunity. I hired a food consultant and I decided I wanted to try and go into more wholesale. But, you know, fresh cookies, you can't really sell on the shelf at a grocery store because the shelf life. So I was thinking I would do frozen. But just the universe works in strange ways. My food consultant met a buyer. He would have me send my cookies wherever he was going out to meet with different distributors and buyers. And we got a hit from Home Goods last year, who has 375 stores. And he had brought them 4 flavors of my cookies. And the buyer said, I'd like to carry them. And they wanted them in a dry mix and also in an already baked cookie. And so it shifted me into, you know, a little website business where, you know, I bake everything and I ship everything out to finding manufacturers for my cookies and figuring out how to make them so they'll have shelf life, which you actually have to bake all the moisture out. They have to be crispy. And also a dry mix and doing, you know, R&D for months and months to get the right formulas and everything. And then developing the packaging. And now we're in the stores. So
you outgrew that kitchen.
Well, yeah, it's I still do that part of the business, but now that's become a small part of it.
Yeah.
So it's not
just chocolate chip cookies either. It sounds like you've added different recipes and flavors and so forth.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different flavors. There's 5 flavors on the website. And 4 of them are carried in the stores. And then I haven't focused as much on it recently, but before all this branching out, I was doing a different cookie every month. Like I would do a Mother's Day cookie and a Father's Day cookie and a 4th of July cookie and a Thanksgiving cookie and a holiday cookie, all different flavors just to keep the marketing up.
You know, we had a motivation marathon back in January where we had 9 days of 47 speakers at motivationmarathon.com. And one of our speakers is in your fan club hugely. They're called Midlife Road Trip. Have you ever heard of any of them?
Oh, yeah.
Rick,
yes.
Sandy, and Vicky?
Yes.
They were speakers for our motivation marathon. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my God.
The reason why I say that out of the blue is because Deb just tweeted that into me and said, hey, she just posted to all the Facebook pages that you were on the radio with us and so forth. But you have a huge fan club in Midlife Road Trip.
That's so cute. They found me through my brother.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Aren't they cool?
Funny.
Have they been out to visit you yet?
No, not yet.
They need to. They are a trip in and of themselves. They're so funny. Midlife Road Trip is a group of it's Rick, Sandy, and Vicky, and they go around the country to basically scratching off things off their bucket list, and they video it and put it on TV, and it's pretty fun. So
I
you want must
to join their group.
Oh yeah, but you must be on the cookies. Must be so great if they've got that on their list to have your cookies.
I have to send you guys a whole little sampler pack.
Oh, that'd be fun. We would very much enjoy that, wouldn't we, Katie?
Oh my God, yes.
Katie's in Seattle and I'm in Maine, so you got the whole country covered.
Okay. Elizabeth, after the show, I'm going to email you and get everybody's address.
Okay, yeah, we would absolutely love that. Now, it looks like, Katie, interrupt me too if I'm talking too much here, but it looks like, you know, aside from people like the Midlife Road Trip, it looks like you've got quite a celeb fan base going on. And, you know, you're probably in that already because of MTV and your brother and so forth. But how do celebrities change the scope of what you're doing?
You know, it's such an interesting question. I'm going to answer so honestly right now. I thought when I, you know, before I branched out into the more wholesale marketing, market side of the business, I thought that would be sort of the real path to growth. And I spent a lot of money and a lot of time doing these sort of celebrity gifting suites. I did one for the Oscars. I did one for the Emmys. I did a bunch of them. And they would come and they would taste the cookies. And of course there would be raves and all this. And then I would send the pictures out to get publicity. And there was no pickup. It wasn't a big story. And so while it was great and it was fun to see them there and to have them get excited about the cookies, I realized that really wasn't where it was at. Like, that wasn't going to grow the business and help me make more money for Starlight. Interestingly, you know, I thought that would be a huge way to grow.
You know, I like what you just said. I love what you just said. You didn't say make more money for me.
Yeah.
You didn't say and make more money for me. You said make more money for Starlight. You can tell where your heart is.
Yeah, so it just sort of like, I just thought, okay, that's not a good use of my time or money now. And so I would rather put my money into production of manufacturing and getting broader distribution now, because that's the way it's going to, you know, really generate more down the line. So, but it's certainly fun to be at those things, but I don't know how if you're really going to open like a, Sprinkles. You know, like if you're going to do a Sprinkles, you're going to have a store and be a stationary type of thing, which I had thought about, and my kids wanted me to do that so badly. But then you're in one location. You know, you can't really.
Yeah. I've thought about doing that before, too, and you really have to sell a lot of cookies to pay the rent.
A ton
of cookies. It's not just a little, you know, and especially if you're in a city like Los Angeles, I can't even imagine what the rents would be on something like that. It's got to just be phenomenal how many cookies need. And then also with your commitment to donate money to Starlight as well. So there's kind of two things that you'd have to cover there. It's probably quite a phenomenal amount of cookies.
Yeah. So it's just, I guess it all depends on when someone is going into business, what their sort of goals are to decide how to best go after what they want to do.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about your mom?
She was, it sounds like all the ladies on the phone were lucky enough to have beautiful moms and relationships with them, but she was literally an angel on earth. She was one of those kinds of women that just to meet her was to love her. She was very nurturing, no matter how many people there were in a room, if she was talking to you, you felt like you were the only one in the room. And she just had a way of bringing out the best in people and just shared her love so wholly with people and remembered little details about people and their kids and their parents. Like, our house was the one where, you know, we always wanted to bring our friends because everybody loved our parents. And so she just, she really had a spirit about her that was, she just taught us about, taught me a lot, actually. She taught me about being present in the moment, because she was sort of ahead of her time for that generation. She was a pharmacist, and I think her dream would have also been to go to medical school. My dad was a doctor, but in those days, it just wasn't that common for a woman to go to medical school, so she chose pharmacy school. And when I got old enough to understand how incredible it was that she was so present as a mom and yet had a really, you know, blooming career, I remember asking her how she did it. How did she juggle that? How did she balance it? And so her answer stays with me every minute. She said, I give 100% to what I'm, where I am at the moment. And I thought, God, she has such wisdom and, you know, insight as to how to make that work. And it's true. So she really taught me a lot about that, too. And about giving back and about being, showing up for people and, you know, those sort of core values that I take with me and try my hardest to pass on to my kids and their friends and, you know, that kind of thing. But she was really very unique in that regard.
Katie?
Yeah, I'm, how wonderful, what a blessing. You know, I kind of represent one of those people who had a mom that did her best but was very challenged socially and emotionally and struggled to teach me certain things. And I had to learn over time to appreciate underneath what she really was trying to teach me. And so I kind of, since she's died, I've been able to really crystallize some of those lessons. But it's not easy when you have a mom who's very different than you. So I love and I really embrace those of you, Roberta, who have had the kind of mom who really emulates what you want to be. I didn't have that, and I think a lot of people don't. And I think that, I guess what I want to say is, even if you didn't, there are certain things that you can learn anyway. And gifts that you can find in that. And so I guess that's what came up for me, is that regardless of what kind of relationship you have with your parents, you can still do wonderful and beautiful and purposeful things after they're gone, or while they're here, obviously, that we have something to learn from them regardless.
You know, Roberta, with your mom, you said she was a pharmacist. Where did the cookie baking come in to play?
I don't know. I guess she had two things that she pretty much did when she wasn't at work or somewhere else, and that was make knishes and make cookies. And I don't know where it all came in, because it's not like her mom was a baker or anything like that. So I really don't know. I think it started, she claimed to have helped launch my brother's career when he was in his early days of, you know, getting his music played on radio, and he was at Capitol Records. She would send cookies to the radio station or to his meetings in advance to sort of like grease the wheels type of thing. So I don't know if it, I don't know how or when or why. It just, I think it was just her vehicle.
Yeah.
It was her vehicle. And it was, that's what she was known for.
You know, how many... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, still to this day, people that I don't know, I'll get emails from on my website that people say, I met your mom and her cookies at such and such a place at one time. And it was just her.
That's just funny. So what's the most popular cookie today? Is it still chocolate chip?
Chocolate chip, and then I would say red velvet.
Ooh, what's red velvet?
I don't get it personally, because it's, you know, I don't personally think it's the best cookie, but people go crazy for it. It's just, it's got all the same ingredients that the red velvet cupcake or cake would have, only instead of cream cheese frosting, I use white chocolate chip.
That sounds good.
It does.
Actually, that's the one I picked on your website. That looked really good.
I'll send you guys some.
You know, it's funny because us cookie monsters tend to find each other. We just do. Must be the law of attraction with respect to cookies. I don't know. I'm just such a cookie monster. When I was much like you, I had a career and all this stuff, and when I started having kids, I became like so outnumbered that I just really had to quit my job because it was, you know, I was flying 200,000 miles a year, you know, around, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, just unbelievable travel. And so I remember the day a college degree, you know, the whole works, that guilty mama want to quit the job thing kicked into gear, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I got to quit. And I quit. I remember my mom looking at me saying, "You're going to bake only so many cookies before you go nuts." And I said, "Okay." And you know what I did? You're gonna love it. I started a cookie company, and I've had it since.
You
did? Yeah, it doesn't do it anything what yours does. But we were in California, so I owned the Tahoe Cookie Company since 2002, and then when we moved here to Maine, I switched it to the Maine Cookie Company. And we don't do anything for profit. We just make cookies and completely donate them. And, you know, we just donate the cookies. We don't donate to charities, and we don't make money. We just donate cookies. And we've made over 100,000 cookies now for kids across the country. So that's what I mean when us cookie monsters. But we only make chocolate chip. And I think we only
ever sold. How do you send them out? How do you decide where you're sending them to?
We'll pay for shipping, but we do a lot with Sloan Kettering. And we do a lot with children's literacy, so like 826 Valencia in San Francisco, and then we do tons of stuff for the Little Leagues locally.
But I
ship them out
so
they
cool.
get fat. But I remember I had you know how when you get really big orders for events, like when you have to make 1,000 cookies and stuff?
Yeah.
They're just amazing orders, and you're calling upon neighbors and friends to help package them, and, you know, it's just an amazing amount of cookies to make. And I can remember making 1,000 cookies and shipping them, and they never got to where they needed to get to.
Oh,
it was awful. And it was for this big event and everything. So when they finally did arrive, they arrived, we called them Tahoe Cookie Crumbles, and they had the biggest ice cream party ever.
Oh, my God. Were they still fresh?
But you and I will have to get together, because the other thing that I think we're going to differ on with cookies is that mine are completely nut-free because I have anaphylaxis to peanuts and nuts.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of did it out of need more than anything, because I'm like, I'm not going through my life without eating cookies. I've got to figure this out. Yeah.
And you know what? Mine, you can't even really tell the nuts are in there because they're so finely chopped. It's more for the texture than anything.
Yeah.
But I would say more people like nutless cookies than with nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. But mine are the way they are just because they have to be. But I love the fact, I was reading that, I'm like, that's such a great idea, so you don't have chunks of walnuts in your cookies. I thought that was genius, to cut everything up. And then that...
Yeah.
I could never do that, but that must make them more shelf life happy to get the moisture out of there. Yeah?
I think the ones that I make that we ship for the website, I would say they're shelf life because they're all individually wrapped in little poly bags. I would say they're about inside of a week.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Is that
that's
you
really
too?
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got people chatting, and best people we know, Deb Scott says, cookies were the physical symbol of her love, and all who knew her craved both her and her cookies. That's about your mom. And there was nothing like watching the reaction she got from people when they tasted her cookies. Oh,
yeah.
That is so beautiful.
It was true, for sure.
Well, and it's such a nurturing... It's such a nurturing experience when you're making cookies with your child. And it's a way that we can show our support. And my daughter's turning 10 tomorrow, and I was saying to her, you know, you have to bring cookies to school. Do you want to make them, or do you want to buy them? And she said, oh, no, Mommy, we need to make them. And it's a connecting. I think all of us have had those experiences of connecting in the kitchen around baking cookies. It's a really fun thing, a fun way to connect. And it's a way we teach our kids, too, how to do things.
Somebody else.
It's fun, too.
Go ahead. What did you say?
I was just going to say it's fun. It's gotten to the point now where my kids' friends, they want to come up with their own flavors. So
yeah.
they'll come over yeah. and experiment, you know, and say, okay, I want to do this with sprinkles, or I want to do a cookie with Captain Crunch in it, or whatever. And it, you can get really creative and fun as long as you have the base of your cookie down, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's how Ben and Jerry's made their fortune. I actually lived in Burlington, Vermont when they were developing their ice cream. And the way that they did it is they set up these big tubs in their, it was an old abandoned gas station. And those of us, we would line up for half a mile, go in there, and they would give us ice cream, and we'd put what we wanted on it. That's how they came up with their original flavors.
Oh, my God, is that brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was. We would come in and say, hey, I'll take a little bit of nuts and maybe a little bit of juju fruit or whatever, and they would just throw it in there and say, here's your concoction, and then they would taste test by virtue of how many of us liked certain combinations.
Wow.
I just want you to know that I think that just sounds really gross with juju bees in your ice cream. Whatever you put in your ice cream, Katie. Oh, my gosh. I can see
Oh,
Katie.
No. That's
I'll
what I put. I didn't put anything like that.
Some Oreos.
No, I was the peanut butter and chocolate and nuts and, you know, I had a few things in mind.
Yeah. Oh, that's really funny. My favorite ice cream before I got all these allergies in my 20s was just always, like, anything pecan. Like, pecan. You could make any pecan ice cream, pecan pie, pecan cookie, pecan anything, and I was there. So
that
yummy.
That was my mom. Butter pecan.
Yeah, butter pecan ice cream. Oh, yummy. So, yeah. But anyway, such is life. We have chocolate now. that's about it. I'm limited in my ice cream choices. But somebody typed in, she has a red velvet cookie with about 1,000 exclamation points after it. So that must be a hit.
It is. I'm telling you, people go crazy for it. I think just because it's such a fun, you know, bright color, too.
Yeah. Tell us, do you make cupcakes?
No. No.
I'm just teasing you. No cupcakes? It won't even go there.
No cupcakes. I don't think I would be good at it. I don't know that. I don't have that. No, can't do that.
Is the cupcake, is the cupcake crowd different than the cookie crowd?
That's a good question. If you think about it, there's more places you can get cupcakes that are kind of gourmet cupcakes than there are gourmet cookies now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it just seems like...
I don't know. I would imagine people who are sweet people like sweets no matter what, but that that cupcake craze, I think, is still going on.
Yeah. Now, Katie, I know you like cupcakes and cookies. Is there a different mindset when eating a cupcake versus a cookie? I know we're diving deep here.
You know, it depends on the flavor. I think, you know, I think Freud could really have a ball with this one. And I, as a therapist, could really have a ball with this one. But I think it is really just personal preference, and it's about mood and what kind of texture you're in the mood for.
That's funny. Oh, we're messing with you, Roberta. Isn't that funny? So, where are you going to go from here? What else do you hope to do with your company?
Well, continue to try and get distribution for the cookies. And right now we're being tested. Home Goods is owned by the TJX Corporation, who owns TJ Maxx and Marshalls. So we're testing right now in their stores and also in their Canadian operations. So depending on how those tests go, that could be big. So I'm crossing my fingers and my eyes and my toes and all that. But my long range, if you ask me like what my dream is, Dave, my brother, and I have talked about sort of creating an umbrella. You know, he has his Cause wine that he sells at Whole Foods stores on the West Coast and hopefully one day nationally. And he's also hopefully going to soon be in California Pizza Kitchen restaurants with it. But what our goal collectively is to create an umbrella company called Cause Kitchen and create sort of a line of food products that if I could say who I'd want to be exactly like, it would be Newman's Own, you know, his line of stuff, and they donate to charity. So that would be our dream, to continue to sort of expand our product line and continue to donate to Starlight and see where we go.
You know, it sounds like the two of you could almost really do anything you put your mind to, and it sounds like both of you are quite creative and musically inclined.
I'm not musically inclined one iota. I'll leave that to him. But yeah, we both have an attitude of, what the hell, let's try this. And so, you know, we may not know what we're doing, and we just sort of figure, as long as we can gather the information, then one of my favorite expressions lately is act as if. And
I
as long
like
as
that.
You can act as if, then you can pretty much do anything, because you can be in the moment and get the information you need. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to do things because they don't think they know the right way to do it. But if you just act like you do, then sort of you can figure it out. So
yeah,
that's what we're both okay at that skill. So that's our dream.
Now, can Dave bake?
God, no.
Really? He can't bake?
No, but he's a good cook.
You know,
he's
my husband is like
cook.
That. My husband is a terrible baker, but a great cook. And I'm an okay cook, but a good baker. So we, you know, it depends on what the family wants to eat. If they want chocolate chip cookies for dinner, I'm on it.
I bet your kids would rather that sometimes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. That's interesting. So it sounds like an interesting combination there, too, whereas if you're going to try and do an umbrella company, if he's got that cooking expertise, that might be just pure genius.
Yeah, it's fun to just sort of explore. He's away so much, that's the only thing. So, that's why it's sort of a long range thing, but it's kind of just a vision we have, and how it takes shape over time, I'm not sure. But we're just sort of putting it out there in the universe, and then we'll see where it takes us. Our first product that we want to do together is an olive oil. And, so, because Home Goods said they would be interested in carrying it. So,
I'd love to connect you with somebody on that. I'm from California, and right near my house in California was Brentwood Olive Oil, and they would be genius to partner with to do what you're trying to do.
Are they a manufacturer?
She's absolutely, and we order their olive oil all the way across the country to bring it to our house and don't really use anything else. But they have, you know, garlic olive oil and rosemary olive oil. You know, they have all the different flavors and everything. And I can connect you in email to Brentwood Olive Oil. She's a phenomenal business person. Really,
and
really
neat
lady.
California stuff.
Yeah, and it's in the Bay Area, different than you, but still, you know, close
enough.
But that's a great company.
That's what we want, so you realize most of the olive oil you get are imported, and we want to work with a California company, so I'd love to get in touch.
Yeah, I was raised in Iowa and then moved from Minnesota to California, and we were right there in the East Bay, which is out beyond San Francisco and Oakland, out in Walnut Creek and in that area, kind of almost to Sacramento, and that's really where all of the farming is in the Sacramento Valley. There and a beautiful olive trees. Beautiful.
When I email you after the show, then you'll give me their contact info, because I'd love to get in touch.
Yeah, and I keep in touch with her and have so for 10 years since we moved, and just really enjoy their products. So that might be something for you. Cool. Yeah, you never know why you're supposed to meet people and what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
So it takes you in one direction. It's kind of neat. Can you, Katie, did you want to ask a question since I'm sort of asking a bunch?
Well, you know, I think it's really cool what you just did and connecting and the importance of connecting. And I wanted to ask Roberta, when she's kind of seeking people to send the cookies to or to work with in her business, how does she kind of coordinate her own values with who she works with?
God, what a good question.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So much of it, I think, is just intuitive. of who, what you pick up on from people, but you, I learned so much about it in the corporate world, as did you, I'm sure. And but I think it's interesting, particularly being a woman in business, I tend to want to be around people that want to share successes, not those that want to be sort of territorial. And this is my world, and, you know, I'm not going to necessarily help you, and I don't need your help, that kind of thing. I work much better with collaborative-type people that want to, you know, share ideas and stories and strengths and weaknesses and all that. And so I tend to be drawn more to that. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Enough said there, boy. That is so true in when you're owning your own business and so forth and trying to get things done. The power,
yeah.
There's, I have a my theory in my head, and it's very hard to find like-minded individuals, particularly, not knock on the East Coast, but there's a lot of, you know, just looking out for yourself and trying to survive mode going on here in particular, but trying to find like-minded people who are collaborators can be sifting through a crowd of me, a lot to find that
and you can tell right away. So, you know, that's who I would want to surround myself with.
Yeah, me too. That's why I love my Dr. Katie and my Deb Scott. We, you know, it's fun to, I think it's really fun to meet people who are like that, because when you do that and realize the power of teaming up, and you just go so much more than just sitting there by yourself thinking, what am I going to do next?
Yeah.
So much. You build community. You really do. And I think when you were speaking earlier, Roberta, of, you know, who helps you build the success of your business, and you said, you know, I used to invest a lot in celebrity promotions, and they have so many restrictions and all kinds of red tape and guardians and all kinds of stuff you have to go through. But what I've learned from my mentor, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she once said to me, go to the community, go to your neighborhood, go next door. And that has been such valuable advice, because as I build my work and my work world, I'm building community of people like Elizabeth and yourself, and people who are visionaries and think positively and who are impacting the world in a positive way. And I think that's really an important piece of what you're doing.
Yeah, and I do agree with you that community, like having the support of the community around you, is, you can use that to springboard to anywhere, but that's your base, you know, that's your core. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, do you have a radio show, or do you have a private practice?
Well, I have a bunch of different things.
I got
this radio show with Elizabeth, and I'm a counselor and I also run a nonprofit. And one of the reasons I love what you're doing is I work with seriously ill children, seriously ill and dying children.
Wow.
And so I've worked with Starlight many times, and what my nonprofit does is provide support for the daily living needs of the families. So, like I was with a family yesterday, which would be a perfect Starlight family, who I gave a gas card because they're traveling, oh my goodness, an hour and a half, and gas prices here are $4.25 a gallon, and they have to go down to the hospital 4 days a week, and so they have to stay overnight, and they have to pay for hotel, and they have to pay for food for a whole family. And so we help them with that by engaging the community around them.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful? And so you Starlight puts you in touch with families in need, type of thing?
Well, I'm new to this area, so I'm just getting in touch with what resources are here. But in my other world, when I first started this program 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago now, sometimes Starlight would be involved with the family, because we might be helping a family in Maine that was going to Boston Children's, and they would be working with Starlight in Boston. Or they might be at Philadelphia Children's, and they would be supported there. Or sometimes Starlight was right there in Portland, Maine, helping them. They provided a entertainment machine on the children's floor. So Starlight was involved in a lot of our kids' lives.
Wow. Yeah, they're such an amazing organization. They're a touch point.
Yeah, is it starlightfoundation.org? Is that their website?
Starlight Starlightchildren.org, I think. Starlightfoundation.org.
Okay.
.org.
Yeah. Beautiful. We don't have too much time left, but I noticed on your website that sometimes you make apple pie cookies for Mother's Day. Is there a special reason for apple pie cookies for Mother's Day?
You know, that was actually my brother Dave's idea a few years ago, because isn't there that expression, what's all-American mom and apple pie or something like that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baseball and apple pie, mom and apple pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's how we came up with it. And they're so good. They're like, like that cinnamon crumble stuff inside and on top. They're really good. They're kind of hard to make, though, which is why I haven't mass-produced them, like, for the stores yet. But they're really good.
That sounds good. Doesn't that sound good, Katie? Apple pie cookies?
That was my mom's favorite food, was apple pie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Apple pie. She lived in Vermont, and it was always apple pie with a piece of cheddar cheese. So, yes, it sounds absolutely wonderful.
See, now, we didn't even talk about pie yet. I don't know what's up with me and pie, but so I'm not the biggest cupcake fan, but you give me a choice between a cookie and pie, and, you know, I don't know which. I'm inclined to choose both because I love pie. Anybody else love pie?
I love pie.
Ooh, pie crust. Boy, this is making me hungry, you guys. I just did Zumba, an hour of Zumba before I got on this call, and now I'm starving.
Good for you, Zumba. That's good.
Love Zumba. Yeah, well, it works off all the cookies I eat. But, you know, so apple pie cookies, that's pretty cool. But so do you bake pie at all? Just speaking of pie, do you do any pies or is it just cookies?
I don't do pies. I would love to, but I don't know how to. But the apple pie cookie, I use the apple filling that you would use to do an apple pie. So I mean, I guess I could. And it's so easy.
I think you should try.
I predict
you could probably make the best apple pie out there. That's my challenge to you.
All right, I'm going to try.
I think you need to try because that. If you're making apple pie cookies and they taste good, I bet you make the best apple pie in the world because apple pie cookies are really hard to make.
Do you
really
make pie?
Hard. I have tried to make pumpkin pie cookies and apple pie cookies both, and they're very difficult to make.
Oh, the pumpkin, there's a secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you cannot use canned pumpkin because I make such good pumpkin bread, chocolate chip bread, and it comes out so great with the canned pumpkin that I thought it could just be transferred into the cookie, but it can't because they come out like little muffins instead of cookies.
Yeah, they do, don't they? That's
so
funny. So,
you want a secret? Here's
the secret.
It's pumpkin pie spice.
That makes the pumpkin pie cookies.
Yes. And I'm telling you, it is incredible. Try it.
I think I
use like a teaspoon and a half in a batch, or maybe do trial and error, but it's that little spice. I think it's Schilling or whoever makes it, and it is
that was a
friend of mine actually turned me on to that, and that was the secret. Then they come out like cookies.
Yum. That pumpkin pie spice is the secret to everything, don't you think?
There you go.
It's so good. You can put it on your toast. I'm just kidding. But that's funny. So we're making. You're going to make an apple pie? Maybe snap a picture for
me? Well, I'm going to try, but here's the thing. Here's my question. Do I have to make my own pie crust, or can I use the store stuff?
I'm going to let Katie decide that. Katie, what do you think? Should we make her make her own pie crust, too?
Oh, no way.
Okay.
No way.
No way.
I think it's enough to ask her to make the pie. I think it's great. I think just go for it. Go get the pie stuff at the store.
I'm glad she has a great sense of humor. thank you for your sense of humor, because it makes radio fun to just be with, you know, it makes it goofy and fun and you know, good time. We have 5 minutes left. Is there anything that we'll let you go here, too, in a minute here, but is there anything that we haven't asked you that, you know, we just completely didn't dismiss?
I think you guys have covered the gamut here.
Yeah, I think.
I guess the only thing I would just want to have a little second of encouragement to anybody that's listening that is thinking about starting their own business or has, you know, kids that are growing up and going off to college and wondering what they're going to do and are afraid to take the first step because they're not sure what it is. I would just say, just don't let fear be your thing that stops you. Just even if it doesn't end up being your lifelong passion and it leads you to the next thing, just take steps that put you in a direction to go forward to do something that you love, and the rest will follow. But that, because there's so many women our age that are sort of struggling to figure out what to do at this juncture of their lives, and there's so much fulfillment out there if you're not afraid to just sort of take a baby step and go figure it out.
Yeah, that must have been a heck of a, I think you took sort of a leap, though, leaving MTV. That had to be a brutal decision.
Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine. Because, you know, because that's got cool job kind of thing. You know, how am I going to top this feel? Probably very similar to the job I have. Like, now what am I going to do that's ever going to top that and be as, you know, that kind of thing. And I think you did it. I mean, this is really neat. Kudos to you, and I am so proud of you for being your best.
Thank you, thank you. Well, this was fun, ladies. I enjoyed it very much. And I'm not at home right now, but when I get back to my computer, I'm going to email you and get all your addresses.
Okay, yeah, I'm elizabeth@besteveryou.com. So
yeah, I have
really
it. Mary sent it to me, so I have
okay.
it here.
Okay, super. Katie, hang on the line with me for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Don't hang up. But, Roberta, I just want to thank you so much for being our guest today. Thank you for your good sense of humor, and thank you for sharing with us all the details of your mom and your cookies, and just much success to you and all that you do, especially your work with the Starlight Foundation. Just appreciate
thank
it.
You so
thank
much
you for
all,
doing that.
Thank you to all of you for having me on and for all your fun questions and your time, and I wish you all success, too, and I hope you enjoy the cookies when you get them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You. Take care. Isn't she awesome? That was fun.
Oh, she's awesome. And yeah. And the theme that keeps running through all of our guests is saying the same thing. Just do it. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yep. Courage. It's scary. It's a scary place. It's fun, though. You know, we always say this, and maybe there's a more eloquent way to put it, but you really never know what amazing things are going to happen to you when you step out of the fear zone.
Yep. Just keep walking one step forward.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have 2 minutes left, so that was good that she came online. I don't know. Yay! And thank you to Deb Scott and to Lael and to everybody who joined us in the chat room for the show. That was very sweet of you guys to call in and help us there and share your mom's stories and everything. And what should we do? Should we take everybody to besteveryou.com? And to your website and to maybe join and all that good stuff and then close the show out?
I think that's a great idea.
I don't know. I'm in a pie mode. I might have to make pie, cookies. I'm making pie, cookies, and cupcakes now.
Wow. No. Well, I got to go get ready for that birthday. So perfect timing. I got to go get a cake.
You get cake. There you go. All right. Well, lots of love. And
all right.
Hope you guys all join us at besteveryou.com. And then Katie's website is childpalcare.com and katieeastman.com. So we hope you join us, and we will see you tomorrow. We've got a guest at 1 p.m., Eleanor Stutz. And then on Friday at 1 p.m., we have Lee Philip Bell and Michael Maloney joining us. So we are very excited about our lineup of guests for the rest of the week. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. And, you know, Cookies for a Cause. Go to cookiesforacause.com. Okay, take care, everybody. Bye, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.